Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Crown Talk fans, we are back up and live again with Andrew. So I just wanted to say thank you all for all the calls and all the contacts and everything. Hey, Andrew, how are you?
Hey.
So we're going to keep continuing with all these emails that are coming in and so forth. So, we have one question that is a very controversial question, but I am going to ask you, because that's what we're here to do, is to answer their questions. They ask, Andrew, what are your thoughts of potential delegates who were originally born men and get gendered reassignment surgery to become women and compete in a beauty pageant? Will this be a trend for the future? And if so, do you think that these delegates will ever be taken seriously, or will they always be those that are advanced through not to win, but to be publicity stunt?
Wow, that's a very, very detailed question.
It is. It was.
Okay, well, let me kind of rewind a bit. So back in 2012, Canada had their very first transgender delegate by the name of Jenna Talikova compete for the Miss Universe Canada pageant.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, she was an official delegate, and then she got disqualified, and then she hired a whole bunch of legal support for her to compete. Now, my opinion on this, to be honest with you, I believe that it's fine. You know, I think that each girl that comes to the pageant to compete, they're all on even ground, okay? Regardless of the story, regardless of whether or not they were born male or female, I think that it's just very important to judge the competitor in front of you. So I have no issues with that. I know that some countries or states are very, very, you know, I think the states has allowed that because Donald Trump allowed it back then, and so obviously it's fine now. But personally, I still see each person as an even competitor. You go there to compete, and if you do a good job and you're a strong competitor, and if you happen to be transgendered and you win, then you deserve the crown. You guys are all competing on the same battlefield. So that's my opinion on that. Now, do I think it could be a publicity stunt or it could be taken seriously? Yeah, 100% it should be taken seriously, because I think that transgendered women have a dream too. And they are, you know, they're just as valid. Their dreams are just as valid to compete in a pageant and win as anybody else. So I think there should be no labels when it comes to that.
Yes,
that's just my
opinion. Yeah, and it's, you know, it's just a different time, a different form of diversity. I mean, honestly, I don't think the judges, as you said, they don't care about the story. They just want to know who you are as an individual. So if you come and you play your game. You come, you participate in the pageant, you do your very best. And at the end of the day, if you win, you won the pageant. It shouldn't really matter about what is, you know, whatever happened before then, if you maybe had a gender changer. It shouldn't, I don't believe it shouldn't matter. It just depends on, you know, who came and did what they had to do. That's what it comes down to.
I agree with you 100%. I think it's very important. And a lot of people are influenced by the big picture. Right. There's a lot of political issues that would affect the decision of who wins. And I think that a transgendered winner might stir up the pot. But I also, for me, I think that it would be wonderful because it just opens up the doors for people to, you know, see that there's more to the spectrum. That's basically. So, yeah.
Well, thank you for that impeccable question. So, we hit right on that
felt
one.
Felt like I was competing. Oh, my goodness.
Well, we're going to, you know, keep going on. And from Santa Fe, New Mexico, they've asked, you know, who is your role model and why?
Well, I'm going to be, you know, sweet, but my role model is my mom. And,
aww,
you know, it's there's so many people out there that you can name as your role model. There's influential leaders and that kind of thing. But, you know, my mom is awesome, and she has showed me that working hard and really, really just going for it, you achieve anything, whether it's extravagant or not. If you put your mind to it and you really, really work hard for it, it will happen. And some people just have to be patient. And that's my mom. She comes from, what's it called, very, very humble beginnings. I mean, she wasn't part of a, like, they were, she grew up in poverty, let's just say that, in the Philippines. And she found her way to Canada, and she made her way here. And that's a sign of strength for me, I think, simply because, you know, she was able to achieve her goals. And, you know, I implement that kind of outlook in my life every day. So she's my role model.
Oh, I think that's so sweet. I agree. My mother is my role model as well. She started her own university, and she has taught me how to put a plan in action in for myself. So go for the moms. I love the mothers. They definitely taught us well.
Yeah. Well, moms are there, you know. I mean, the fortunate people that have amazing relationships with their moms, I mean, we can all relate, you know, because there are people out there that don't have those relationships. But when you have that relationship, it's just a never-ending support system. Your mom is your biggest cheerleader. And my mom is for me as well. So.
And in addition, we can't forget about, you know, parent guardians that are either the mother figures in an individual's life that maybe somebody has lost their mother. They also, I commend them for all the hard work they're doing for whatever their son, their daughter, and so forth.
Of course, of course. And, I mean, whoever you hold close to you, it's usually the parental role model. They, you know, I give them credit for raising amazing kids.
Always. Well, on to our next question from Dickinson, North Dakota. What are some volunteer projects that queens can get involved with while they are reigning?
Well, you know, to answer that question, there's usually a platform that contestants have when they first decide to compete in a pageant. And when they win, I mean, they should be a champion of those platforms. And they should find any type of volunteer organization that will be in relation to those platforms. For example, if someone is all about, you know, children's hospital, then they should be volunteering in the children's hospital, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or something that has to do with that platform, cyberbullying. You know, they can start a group on Facebook, and they can, you know, make it their own and get people involved. It's all about inspiring and influencing other kids. And if we're talking about teens, obviously you're going to be targeting that audience, but in a bigger span or spectrum, you know, you would contact different types of organizations that champion those types of platforms. And that's what I would recommend. Anything that has to do with their original platform and why they were competing to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Also, you can go to dosomething.org. They are wonderful, which is it's do something put together, a compound word. And it actually helps you evolve your own volunteer project So, you know, whatever your platform is, or if you're still gathering information on how you're going to pose your platform and build that up, you can also evolve your own volunteer project and, you know, figure out what suits you and fits you best. So
that's
another way you can find a volunteer project as a reigning queen.
Yeah, that's great.
What are your thoughts about the 2015 Miss Universe pageant?
All right, well, being somebody who actually flew to Las Vegas and was in the Access Theater during the whole fiasco, you know, I am of Filipino descent. I'm Canadian-born, but I am Filipino ethnicity. And mm-hmm. I had been following a lot of the national queens, the international queens, rather, this past year, because that's what I do. I look at all of the different types of pageants, and I follow them. So I went to the Miss Universe pageant with high hopes and for a good show. You know, just a good show, my very first Miss Universe experience, because I've always watched it on TV. I always had Miss Universe parties, but this was my opportunity to go there and, you know, live the dream. So
yes.
I get there, and it was an interesting experience, to be honest. It wasn't as exciting as I had expected it to be. I mean, the glitz and glamour that you see on TV is there. It's present in the auditorium, and you see all the fans. It's actually a lot wilder. The audience is crazier than what you see on TV. But it's fun. It's a good atmosphere. Everybody's cheering for their countries. What do I think about it? Okay, well, I think that it was an unfortunate verdict because I don't think anybody won that night. And this is just my honest opinion. I was there when Colombia was announced as the winner. You know, the first thing I thought to myself, I'm like, okay, they wanted to crown another Latina. Okay, that's fine, you know. The organization tends to favor Latin winners, which is completely fine. I mean, they've had such great success. But at the same time, I was kind of disappointed because I felt like, okay, you know, I came there to watch the Philippines, and, you know, she was so close. And the USA was amazing. She was so happy and, like, really, really personable, and you could see her personality on stage. But when Colombia had won, I was like, okay, you know, I'm fine with that. She's a beautiful girl. She was consistent throughout the evening. And then I was just tired because it was a three-hour show. I was jumping up and down with my flag, and it was just so tiring. By the time that they had announced the winner, I was ready to just go home. I'm like, I want to go home and eat, right? But then even Steve Harvey came back on stage, and I knew something was wrong. The minute he came back on stage, he was walking slowly. I'm just like, oh, my goodness. This is worse than, like, any reality TV show I've seen, even though it is reality TV. This is so bad. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a mistake. It was an honest mistake, even though, I mean, it was pretty much outlined on that card, but it was an honest mistake. Whatever he was thinking in the moment, you know, it just happened. And then the way that everything was dealt with after, where they had to, you know, bring Philippines back onto the stage and take the crown off Colombia's head to crown the Philippines, I thought that was a little too dramatic. I wish that if it were me, I thought that if he had made that mistake in that moment, I would have corrected myself right then and there before they put anything on, because then it takes away from the whole visual of a crown being taken off of somebody's head to go onto somebody else. Do you know what I mean? I would have corrected the mistake after he said, and Miss Universe 2015 is Colombia. Oh, wait, no, I lied. Philippines, you know, something stupid like that. I think, I mean, regardless of the way it was executed, I think there would have been backlash anyways. But I can be honest, like, I saw a lot of poor sportsmanship in the audience after that mistake had occurred. People were throwing things on the stage. There was a lot of booing.
Oh,
and,
wow.
It was really bad. It was nothing like I had expected, because I'm so naive to thinking that everybody just cheers on the winner. But when I was in the audience, you could see the booing. You could see, like, fans getting so angry. And I was just like, oh, my goodness, this is just a pageant. But I shouldn't say that because, you know, for the girl that was up there that got the crown taken away from her, her dream just got ripped out of her hands, like it, or I should say, got ripped off of her head. And so, you know, it's terrible to think that she had it and then she lost it. But it was also bad that, you know, the winner never got her moment. So my thoughts, in a nutshell, no one won that evening. Because we'll always remember that it was the wrong winner that was crowned. You know, she may be universe events now in Columbia, Miss Columbia, maybe getting a whole bunch of appearances. And, you know, people can argue one's going to be more popular than the other. But, you know, at the end of the day, once your year is up, people have to find new ways to reinvent themselves. Mm-hmm. A title only lasts 1 year.
It only lasts 1 year.
And once, you'll be forever remembered as Miss Universe or the first runner-up or whatever the case may be. But, you know, there's people like Halle Berry who didn't even win a crown. She was a first runner-up or second runner-up or whatever. And she's an Oscar-winning actress. You know, like, the point of the story is, you know, I was there. I saw everything that had happened. It wasn't the best experience simply because, you know, the show leading up to the announcement was great. I mean, I had such a great time. My partner and I, he's totally not a pageant person, but when Mexico was called up, he grabbed my flag off of my hands, the Mexican flag, out of my hands and started cheering, and I was in shock. I'm like, oh my goodness, you're so patriotic. But, you know, at the same time, you know, till the very end, that's when everything just went down. And, you know, after the pageant, there's a little bar in the middle of the Planet Hollywood, and they replayed the telecast, and people were reliving it again and booing, and it was just, it was kind of weird, but, you know, the overall experience was great.
It's delightful, you know, to hear your ends of the spectrum because, you know, as a viewer from the TV, we didn't see all the reactions. We only saw what we could see on social media, and you know how social media is. They over-exaggerate things sometimes, or they don't really show exactly what happened. And so we don't know what actually happened. But to hear you, you know, tell us that they were booing and so forth, it just really, I mean, of course we could see that from some people's Snapchat, but it hurts me to hear a lot more than what we saw. It was more that met the eye. And, you know, it goes back to that cyberbullying. We honestly, as you said, no one really did win that night because there was two winners called. There was two girls that were called, one by mistake and then one that actually won. And then no one was very supportive. And, you know, pivotal moment, that was her moment in time. To be Miss Universe, everybody wants that title. And even though Steve Harvey, he made an honest mistake, which who doesn't make a mistake in their life? But he came back on, and in my opinion, I think that was good that he did come back on stage and correct his mistake, because he could have been like, oh, well, I'm not going back out there and make myself look bad, you know, and they could have just kept it, which goes into the political side of the pageant industry. But he didn't. He took it with a grain of salt, went out there and said what he had to say, and then came off stage very fast. But then he brought both of the girls on his show afterwards. I don't know, have you seen those two shows on his
I did. I saw both sides of the story. And, you know, I mean, both women are very, very beautiful. They're both very smart. And, I mean, any one of them would have been an amazing winner. Anybody in that top five, to be honest. You know, they all had their strengths. And it was up in the air. It all just came down to consistency at the end of the day. And so when the three, USA and the Philippines and Colombia, they were all named the top three, I wasn't surprised. I mean, they were consistent. It was just the aftermath that really bothered me personally. And even up to this day, social media, you know, there's a little cyber war going on between countries. And it's just unfortunate because You know, I think had the tables been turned, and I can't really say, but I would never be the type of person to be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go on social media and start bashing people. I'm not that person at all. But it's unfortunate that there's a lot of people, and when I look at their profiles, when I see them bash and I see their profiles, they're young people. You know, they're not it's one thing if you're an adult, which is kind of sad, to be honest. If you're an adult and you're bashing people, that's sad to me. But when you're a teenager or somebody younger than a teenager and you're bashing people, it just goes to show, like, where are you getting this? So why are your parents teaching you to be this way, you know? And at the end of the day, this is our future. It could be something as little as social media bashing, but it can become a problem later on, you know? And this is not just pageants. This is in life. People bash each other. People see the need to just say whatever they want because they feel that it's right. But to be honest, you know, there's feelings, and people should really watch out for that. Because we all know bullying can lead into tragic consequences.
So. And to conclude to this question, you know, I just honestly, I think you would think that emotions were running high because of the way everybody's acting, but it's still continuing till this day, and that happened over a month ago. So
I know. I don't think it's going to change. I think that it's just going to continue to happen because I think people just want to keep it going. I mean, I was over it 2 or 3 days later. I was just like, okay, I'm tired. Now I just have to clean up my Instagram and delete all of these comments, block all these people. That's all I do. That's for the, you know, seriously, I kid you not, for the last, or the 2 weeks after the pageant, that was my day, just deleting negativity off of my Instagram and blocking people.
Yeah,
and people were insulting me because I was supporting.
Oh, wait, they were insulting you. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I know, it's so funny, and I just laughed. I laughed and then blocked them. I'm not going to lie, though. Some of it got annoying, and I was asking myself, I'm like, you don't even know me. Why are you even bringing me into this picture? I don't see a Miss Universe crown on my head.
Well, you know, anyway. Each one of those girls are, you know, they're exceptional. Like, just seeing them on the show, Steve Harvey's show, like, she played it off. She was like, you wanted me to win. I thought that was cute. They both have wonderful personalities. So I think at the end of the day, whatever the viewers want to think, they both are in an okay place and a good place, and they're trying to laugh it off.
Exactly.
So if they can laugh it
they can
laugh it off.
Exactly.
So I have two more quick questions for you. Who has been your favorite Miss Universe of all time?
I have a tie. And I have to name them both because they're just both amazing women. One of them, the first one, is from 1997. Her name is Brooke Antoinette Mehialani Lee. She was Miss Universe 97, and she's from the USA. Loved her because of her amazing personality. She was so spontaneous and so beautiful. You know, you could see the light just shine when she smiled. And then the second one is Miss Universe 2008, Diana Mendoza of Venezuela. And I just loved everything about her. Beautiful face, very flirty, and just such a great personality. And as we went, going back to that question you asked me previously, it's all about full package. And I think these two women both embodied that Miss Universe full package.
I am so happy that you said Diana Mendoza. She is my all-time favorite. I knew for a very long time when I was trying to do my pageant, I was trying to walk like her, get the dress like her, like get the hair like her, like love her. And finally, I got my yellow dress just like her. She is definitely, I'm a fan of hers. So I'm glad.
She's amazing.
She definitely embodied just everything that a woman, a pageant girl should be. And now congratulations to her. She is a brand new mommy.
I know. And her kid is probably going to be a Miss Venezuela, too.
Yep. She will.
Or a
Miss Venezuela. I already know it. but how can our listeners support the pageant like?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, the pageant spotlight is always evolving. You know, I might change certain ways of how I post or what I do with my Instagram account. But as long as, you know, you follow, you comment, and you just spread a lot of positivity, I think we're all there to support each other. I know a majority of my followers are people that are around the world that love fashion. And I think you can just use it in terms of, you know, just being positive and enjoying whatever I post and liking and sharing and just having a fun time when you're there.
Well, thank you so much, Andrew, for coming on the show today and letting our listeners and I learn about you and the pageant spotlight.
Thank you so much for having me. I really, really enjoyed my time here.
And you have a wonderful night.
Yeah, you too as well. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
To learn more about the Pageant Spotlight, please visit the Pageant Spotlight's Instagram and Facebook page. You may also visit our website to learn more about Andrew on our website, www.crowntalkwithbyrgu.wix.com/crowntalk, under guest speakers. Thank you again, Andrew, for coming on the show. We had a wonderful time with you. Well, Crown Talk listeners, we have come to the end of our show. Remember that you have plenty of time to sign up for the Crown Talk with Burgundy Hall of Fame. Please visit www.crowntalkwithbyrgu.wix.com/Hall of Fame, and you can sign up for any of those, and then you will get a welcome letter in your email within 7 to 8 business days. Remember, you can also follow our social media sites on Facebook, which is Burgundy Mallory, B-Y-R-G-U-N-D-Y, Mallory, M-A-L-L-O-R-Y. Our Snapchat, Crown Talk with B-Y. And our Twitter, Crown Talk with B-Y. Our Instagram, Crown Talk with Burgundy. And Burgundy is B-Y-R-G-U-N-D-Y. Website, blogtalkradio.com/Crown Talk with Burgundy. Crown Talk with BYRGU.wix.com/Crown Talk and Crown Talk with BYRGU.wix.com/Hall of Fame. Thank you again, Andrew, for coming on the show. We really enjoyed having you and talking about all the ups and downs of the pageant world. I hope you all have a magnificent night. And remember, you're never too young to be a role model.